Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi. Bechoras Daf Yud Beis, we're holding right on top of the Mishnah. So the Pasuk speaks of being paid, redeeming a firstborn donkey, a petach hamor, with a seh. The seh category covers sheep and goats. Says the Mishnah, that's the only thing you can use. In poison way, but eagle, you can't do the pidyon with an eagle, a calf, from the cow family. Or another type of chayon, undomesticated, deer, etc. It has to be alive, not shechted. Nor can one use an animal which is severely injured to the point that it's called a treifa. Nor can one use a crossbred animal, even if both parents were considered seh, as she says, a tayish, bred with a rachel, so the goat with a sheep. This offspring, since it's kelaim, it's not purely either goat or sheep, unsuitable. V'lo b'kvi, nor a kvi, which is a crossbreed between behema and achaya. He says Kalayim is okay. Because ultimately he's from the Seh family. Whether it's on account of his father or mother, it's either sheep or goat, it qualifies. But he agrees that a kvi is off limits. Because that has an element of both. It's part this, it's part that, right? It's part chaya, part behema. Concludes the Mishnah. Let's say the owner decides, you know what? Why bother doing the pidyon? Let me just give the entire chamor to the kohen. Let him deal with it. The son of the kohen, fine. If he did that, but the kohen cannot partake in it until he actually makes the pidyon. You see, the petach chamor belonging to a Yisrael requires pidyon. You can't just give him the actual petach chamor and done with it. Ein kohen rashi the kohen. The kohen can't keep it actually after setach until he sets aside the seh, does the pidyon, and now it all stays in his hands. So the Mishnah stipulates that you can only use a seh for pidyon as opposed to an eagle, a chaya, a kalayim, etc. Mas nisen mani, who's speaking in our Mishnah? Ben Bagbag, he must be Ben Bagbag. Who holds of these halachos, the sanim, Bagbag Eimer. We have a gzereshava, a connection between the word seh, stated over here in our context, and the word seh, stated by Karban Pesach. Nemar kan seh, v'nemar lahalon seh. Right, so we connect the two. Just like malahalon, just like by Karban Pesach, prat, l'chal Hashem ha'salol, all these types are excluded. You can't bring a shechted piece of meat for Karban, you have to shecht it for the sake of Karban Pesach. So it has to be alive. It cannot be kalayim, which is not suitable as a karban, etc., etc. Likewise over here, Avkan, likewise by the seh of Petach Hamor, prat l'shemois, l'chol shemois ha'shemois halalu, we exclude all these different types. So we require a seh which hails either from kvasim or from izim, alive, healthy, etc. So as the Gemara, if you can compare all the way, ima lahalon, if that's the case, and just like over there by Karban Pesach, it's not sufficient to have the type of animal. There are gender requirements, age requirements, it has to be unblemished. Are you going to apply the same halachas to Petach Hamor? Ima lahalon, zachar, tamim, ben shana, male, unblemished, within a year of birth, afkan, the same over here. You're going to require Zohar Tamim Ben Shana? And clearly we don't. Why? Tamalema, the answer is Tifta Tifta Riba. The Pasuk repeats the word Tifta twice. Look in the Pasuk, it says Tifta Besen again, Meloi Siftar, to cover even these additional variations. Tifta Tifta Riba. Oh, if you're expanding it, then expand it to even Chaya. E Tifta Tifta Riba, if you're going to apply it and expand it to other things, I feel Kol Haninami, so include all the other items as well. Why limiting it at all? If that's the case, if there are no limitations at all, then what's the point of the Gzera Shava Se'aseh? And Rashi explains, so why do we prefer these requirements over those? Umistavar, says Rashi, makes sense to exclude the Chaya, the Kalayim, the Shechta. These aren't at all considered a set. But something which is really a set, a sheep or a goat, even though he doesn't, you know, conform to the specifics of Karban Pesach, age, gender, blemish, and that's okay, close enough. Iboilu, now comes a new question. Mao lufzeis ben pekuah. What about an unborn animal discovered inside the mother after Shechita? Ben pekuah. Okay, fully developed. Couldn't we use that sheep or goat for a pidyon petach hamor? Now, I'll leave it to Rav Meir Tibbalach. There's no question according to Rav Meir that it works. Why? The kivan, Dama Rav Meir, since Rav Meir teaches us back in Tafayin Dalet, ben pekuah tohon Shechita, even this fully developed fetus found inside the mother after Shechita requires its own Shechita. Apparently, Sema Aldi was considered a full-fledged, complete standalone animal, and it's suitable for pidyon petach hamor as well. The question will apply according to Rabban. Damri, who say that Ben Pekuah is exempt from his own shechita. Shechita's ima mitaras, the shechita of his mother, accommodates the offspring as well. How do we relate to this offspring? Like an animal, or perhaps just like a cut of meat inside a basket, the mother's animal? Kibisra, like a piece of meat with the kula dam inside a basket, is he like? Or idilma, or you can say kivin the hashd, and therefore it's not suitable for pidyon. He's like a chunk of meat inside the mother. Or idilma, kivin the hashd, to me a roit vassal. On the other hand, look at him now. He's running around. Walks like a goat, talks like a goat. Roit vassal. He's running, moving around. Se karinabe, perhaps. He does earn the title se, and can be used. So which way? Halachically, in which case it's just a piece of meat, part of the mother's animal? Or in fact is he appears like an animal on his own, a live being, and it could be used. So which way? Mazurcho Amar, he says, ain't poitin, you can't use it. He's like a limb of the mother. Ravashi Amar, poitin, you can use it. He's his own animal. Amar Ravashi Amar Mazurcho, what's wrong? My daitach, where are you coming from? The office of Pesach. It must be that you're learning from Karban Pesach, where Rashi explains, Eben Pekuah is unsuitable. You know why? Rashi says, because we have a pasuk, Ki Yivaleid, he has to be born properly, Prat, as opposed to Liyotzei Doifein. An animal born by cesarean, or certainly if it was discovered inside the mother, post Shechita. And since it's not good for Pesach, not good for us? Well, if you compare it to Pesach, match it all the way. And require all those requirements as well, gender, age, etc. Ima lahalan, zachar, tamim, uben shana. If you can have all those requirements there, the same should apply here. Afkan, zachar, tamim, uben shana. And certainly you don't require these requirements. Well, tifta, tifta, riba, we have that additional tifta to include even other types. Well, if you can include others, I feel Ben Pekuah, I'm included Ben Pekuah as well. Why are we discriminating between this and the others? Imkain says, if all is covered, then what's the point of connecting it to Karban Pesach? And Rashi says, Mestavra, it makes sense, Lamut Ben Pekuah, to exclude Ben Pekuah, because Tikashachu Dami halachically is like he's shechted, and no longer regarded as his own seh, as opposed to including, you know, Balmum, Nekeva, a two-year-old, ultimately they're considered set. There's nothing inherently wrong in terms of classification. It makes more sense to include them and to exclude this one. Iboilu, now comes a new question. A brand new question. What about a nidme? Nidme comes from the word doima, compare. He doesn't appear like his mother animal. We had this the other day, right? Regarding Bechoira, firstborn kosher animal, if he doesn't appear like his mother, completely not like his mother, he's totally not Kaddish. He appears somewhat like his mother, he is. We have a pasuk by Karbonis as well. an offspring which appears different than his mother is not Kaddish for Karbanos. Okay? So what about using a Nidme for Pidyon Petach Hamor? So he is a sheep, but he looks like a goat. Meaning his mother is a sheep, but he looks like a goat. Can I be paided with a Nidme? Now back to the Mishnah. Let's take a look. Rabbi Elazar says, even a true Kalayim, which is a real crossbreed between a sheep and a goat, is okay. According to him, there's no question. That in this case, where mother is sheep and offspring is sheep, and if mother and father are both sheep, just offspring looks a bit different, it's merely appearance. It's not inherently a different type. There's no question it works. There's no question here. Hashtab Kalayim Parakin, if you could redeem with real Kalayim, a true crossbreed with Nidman, but obviously with a Nidman. Of course it's okay. Kiti Bailach, your question will apply to the Rabbanan Kondi Rabbanan. Bekalayim, Hudlai Barakin, who say Kalayim doesn't work, so perhaps over there we don't, because in reality it's a crossbreed between two types. He's not purely one or the other, but Benidme Parakin, but merely, he's a Nidme. He was produced by mother and father sheep, but he looks different. Maybe that's still okay. Or the Malish, no, perhaps. No, there's no difference in a Kalai. Fact is, he's not presenting. Tashma, here comes a Raya. Parashi Aldemanez, the Brisa says, cow births a goat-looking offspring. Ain't poiden. You cannot use it for pigeon. And this is pretty obvious because, technically, he's a calf coming off a mother, and that's not suitable for pigeon petachamar, which needs a seh, sheep or goat. But let's make a diuk. What does this imply for us? That if mother and offspring would be of the seh variety, it would work, despite the difference in appearance. Apparently, a rachel, a sheep, she aldemanez gave birth to a goat-looking creature, poiden that can be used for pidyon. Check. Who's speaking? Mani, ilam Rabbi Elazar. Is Rabbi Elazar speaking? It goes without saying. You could even use a real kalayim. So, of course, there's no point in this. Have a kalayim, not a prakina. You could even use a real kalayim. Apparently, this price is not Rabbi Elazar, because then it would just be obvious. El Rabbanon, it must be Rabbanon speaking. Kalayim off, but Nidme is okay. No, loyalim Rabbi Elazar. No, the price could certainly be Rabbi Elazar here. The point of the price is to teach us actually the first halacha, not the inference. The first halacha, which was a parah birthed a goat. The parah shiodim and a's. To teach us that ain't poison, you can't use it. Why would I think otherwise? So, Lotemi, we shouldn't argue and say, Zilla Basre de Day. Focus on the offspring. The fact is, Vai Ez Malyu, he looks like a full goat. And it works. No. The point of the Bryce is, El Zilbasar Ime, follow the mother. Vai Eglo, the mother is a cow. The offspring is classified as a calf, and therefore it doesn't work. Toshmai comes another. Raya. Regarding the status of a nidme for pidyon, Dashma Tani Rabbi Rashmul, Ezo Kalayim. Give me an example of a kalayim which is unsuitable. Rachash Yaldimenez, Vavavse. She birthed the goat whose father is a se. Okay, so it's a regular sheep. So father and mother were sheep, and the offspring is a goat. And that is kalayim. Aviv seh, if the father is a seh, so father and mother are both the same. Kalayim, why are you labeling him as Kalayim? Nidme is merely a Nidme. In his appearance, he differs, but he's not actually. Ela, rather, we have to revise the Brisa. Ezo dami le Kalayim. I have to insert a word. What's an example of something which presents like Kalayim? Not really, but halachically is regarded as Kalayim. The Shavu or Rabban Kalayim, the Rabban we regard as Kalayim. Okay, despite the fact that he's not really a product of a crossbreed. What's that example? Rachel Shiodomin is. So the mother and father, Vav said, the mother and father were sheep, and the offspring is a goat. And what does the Brisa say? He is disqualified. Now, disqualified for what purpose? To be brought as a korban, to be used for Masa Behema, to be used for Pidyon Petach Hamor. I mean, what? Lamai, regarding what? Ilukachim. Is it to disqualify him from being used as a carbon, regular carbon? Well, there's no need for a brisa to tell us that. I mean, that's the pasuk. Meichad memayid kalayim, the same source, the same pasuk which excludes a real kalayim from carbon. Hasam memayid nidman. Nidman is also excluded. The sanim of a brisa. Sharei kesef, prat lekalayim, eis prat lenidman. So the same pasuk which excludes a real crossbreed also excludes a nidman. There's no point in discussing it separately. Okay, ilabchar, is it regarding whether or not it's going to be kaddish as a bechar if it's a firstborn kosher animal? Well, again, that we already know from the other pasuk we had the other days, right? So the brisa, which presents it as a rabbinic type of exclusion, if we're talking about korbanos, it's a pasuk, it's benat Torah. If we're talking about a bechar, again, that's a pasuk. Ach bechar shor, right? We had the other day. Amar Rachman Torah tells us, ach bechar shor, that offspring must appear like the mother. Achei hu shor bechar shor, the mother and the offspring have to appear the same. So it's not a rabbinic disqualification, it's a pasuk. Elo, next option, lemaser, perhaps regarding maser behema, to teach us that just like you can't just like the a real kalayim is exempt from maser behema, right? When you have 10 animals, put in the pen, you count to 10, the 10th one is a car. Kalayim is excluded. Why is it excluded? Because the maser behema is compared to karbonis, and just like over there, kalayim and idma is out, same over here. Tachas, tachas mekachim gomer. So it's learned from Gzeres Shava, tachas over here, tachas mekachim. Just like by kachim, kalayim is out, by Maser Behem as well. And guess what? The same Gzeres Shava will bring over the exclusion for Nidma as well. Just like by Korbanos you can't use a Nidma, Maser Behem either. So again, it's Minat Torah. So what does the Braisa mean? That Midrabanon, the Nidma is out. One option remaining is Petach Hamar. El Petach Hamar. That although Kalayim is only disqualified Minat Torah, but Nidma is disqualified Midrabanon. That seems to resolve our question, which was whether you can use a nidma. No, it says maloy loy lo maser. Perhaps the Braisa is talking about regarding maser behema use, not regarding pidyon petach hamor. Well, that's been learned from karbanos. It disqualifies it based on the pasuk. No, kigon sheyesh b'mitzvah simanim. It's not a full-fledged nidma. He appears somewhat like his mother. He has some resemblance. Now, let's just picture the equation. We have a full spectrum, right? On one side we have animals for karbanos. We disqualify kalayim, disqualify any sort of nidme. On the other hand, we have bechir, disqualify a full nidme, but if he's somewhat resembling the mother, miktsa simanim, we had the other day, it works. Because it says ach, ach is, allows this case. Now we have the master behemoth right in the middle. Who should he be compared to? Ma'adotema, perhaps I can say, havar, avar, and b'chur. Gomar. We should compare him to b'chur. It says havar there, avar here. And partial resemblance is enough. Kamashmon, the point of the Baisa is to teach. No, we push him to the right. Tachas, tachas, mekachim, gomar. We compare him to kachim by way of a gzer, shava, tachas, tachas. Where even a partial nidme is disqualified. So bottom line is like this, regarding a nidme. For karbanos use, any nidme is possible. Regarding bechor, only a full nidme is possible, but a partial resemblance is enough. Regarding maser behema, we compare it to karbanos. Regarding petach hamor, we asked, we haven't yet resolved. Now comes a brand new question, yiboilu. The following was asked, mao liftois psulei hamikdash. So you have an animal which had been a karban, it was blemished, became disqualified, you redeemed it, it's now no longer truly, you know, Kaddish. Can I use him for Pidyon Petach Hamor? What's the question? I'll leave the Rav Shimon to Boilach. Quant Rav Shimon, who told us that a firstborn donkey, although Pidyon is required, but it does not affect the status in terms of Hanoi, you can still use it until you do the Pidyon. According to that opinion, there's no question that you can use Psulei HaMikdashim for Pidyon Petach Hamor. Why? Given the Amar, since he holds that the donkey's mutar barno can be used even prior to redemption, chulenu, so he's really a regular animal, there's no issue redeeming him for the psulei hamikdashim. Now, why would there be a problem at all? We'll see in a second. We'll see it from the other side. Ki tibayach, the question would apply, leave the rabbi, according to rabbi, the Amar says, asr bahana. The petach hamor is asr to use pre-pidyon. evidently there's some Isser riding on that donkey, right? My. Now, what about flipping that donkey for the Psula Mikdash? The Psula Mikdash, although it was redeemed, but it's not fully, fully mundane. There are some restrictions on it. You can't share it. You can't work with it. You can only use it for its own. I mean, you could shecht it and enjoy the meat. So there is a residual kedusha lying on it. There is some iser present on that animal. So perhaps you can't flip him for the petah chamor, which also has iser, because basically what you're trying to do is transfer the iser from the chamor onto this psula mikdash, which already has pre-existing iser. You can't do that. Ein iser chal al iser. You can't apply a double layer iser. My, so what about flipping it for the chamor? Shall we say, kivin asur bahano, since the chamor is asur until the pidyon? So, in effect, the pidyon, what the pidyon is doing is taking the iser from the chamor and placing it on the, sort of placing it on the seh. He's being exchanged for the iser, and then the iser, of course, dissipates. But perhaps the process entails transferring the iser from the chamor onto the seh, which then dissipates. And that cannot be done if there's already a pre-existing iser on the seh. In iser chalal iser, one iser can't land on the other. It's saturated, it's over. Oidilma, on the other hand, given like tafas pidyane, ultimately, when you flip the goat for the chamar, you're not actually forbidden the goat. Given like tafas pidyane, it's not actually inheriting, it's not importing the iser from the chamar. Afku yisur ba'amu. This process merely, what it does is it releases the iser and dissipates it. So perhaps there's no issue using a psula mikdashim. We're not trying to add more iser onto the goat. The goat's involvement is merely to dissipate the iser from the chamor. That's an interesting question. Can or can I not use a psula mikdashim for pidyon bet chamor? Amar Rav Mari, Breda Rav Kahana. Of course not. Is it little in your eyes how the Torah relates to the psula mikdashim and calls it tzvi v'ayel? Mizuter, is it small in your eyes? This, which it says regarding psula mikdashim katzvi v'ayel, the Torah is comparing it to a tzvi, a deer, ayel, regarding permissibility, right? But the fact is the Torah does equate the psula mikdashim to these types of creatures which are technically animal, chayos, which are unsuitable for petach hamar. And that's the message. A psula mikdashim has a similar status to a chaya and cannot be used for pidyon chamor. Ma tzvi v'ayel, just like these animals, ein poitin, cannot be used for pidyon petach chamor. Af, likewise, psula mikdashim ein poitin, you can't redeem with psula mikdashim. So as they were, okay, that's a good point. Hasht osas lachi, now that you've come to this clarity, let's turn the page. The Reb Shimon Nami Tzvi V'ayel Ksibu, the same exact would apply to Reb Shimon. So in contrast with our earlier contention according to Reb Shimon, there's no issue here. There is an issue. Tzvi V'ayel Ksibu. The Torah relates the Pesukim Mekdashim Tzvi V'ayel and makes it unsuitable for pidyon according to all shittos. Next question, Yibaylu. The following was posed in Beis HaMedrash. Ma'ol says, what if you have a shvius animal? Now, of course, they didn't go out of the ground. It means to say that you had some shvius produce growing on Shemitah, which has kedusha shvius. It must be consumed prior to the expiration date, the biur, when it's no longer available for the animals out in the wild, etc. So certain limitations, certain halachas, you can't destroy it, right? You can't do business with it. So he had extra apples, and he switched it with his neighbor who had an animal. So now the animal assumes kedusha shvius and must be treated accordingly. Can one use that animal for pidyon? So as the Gemara, vadai. It depends. If the petach hamor is a vadai, was certainly a firstborn, which requires a true pidyon, which will be handed to the Kayin, loy tiboy, there's no question that cannot be done with a behemah shvius. Why? La'achila marachmona. The Torah specifies, shvius material is meant exclusively for consumption. V'loy, la'achila marachmona, v'loy l'scher, not for commercial purposes, such as handing it to the kohen in exchange for the... That's a commercial transaction. No way. Kiti boilach. And the Rashi explains here, he says, because when I'm switching it with the donkey, I'm basically buying, I'm taking Shvius material, which now manifests in this Behemah Shvius, right? And switching it for a Chamor, which is not Roy L'Achila. Okay? So, yeah, that's a commercial transaction. That's business. It's not for consumption. The question will be suffic. Let's say I have a suffic, an uncertainty regarding my firstborn. Was it the first? Was it, you know, was it in the cave of first? Like we had, you know, early in the Mishnah, right? Now, Valibu the Rabbi Shimon, Tiboylach under Shimon, there's no question again, the less they suffic. He doesn't hold up a suffic issue because he's the one that held that Petach Hamor is Mutter Bahano, even pre-pidyon. So when there's a suffic, just leave it alone. Don't bother making any pidyon. So this whole thing is not relevant, according to Rabbi Shimon. The question will probably be the Rabbi Yehuda, going to Rabbi Yehuda. That when you have a suffix Petach Hamor, you have to address the possible Isra. You do. You have to swap it for a Seh, but you can keep the Seh. You don't have to give it to the Kohen. So the Isra you have to address, but the monetary financial element of this, it's Chesh Mishpat, that follows the regular system, right? Of Dinei Mamonis, Hamoitzei Mechaveir. All right, you want to extract money, you got to prove your case. Until the Kohen can provide confirmation that this is really obligated, then until that point you can't take this. So you keep it. My, okay, so once we establish that you do the pidyon but you keep it, can one use the shvius animal for this purpose? My, given the mafresh klebul atzmoi, on one hand, since he's setting aside, you know, the tle, doing the pidyon, but he keeps the se, perhaps that's not really considered a transaction. Ultimately, he's just keeping everything. La'achal karina beitz, considered for food, for consumption. So although technically it was used to swap for the... But the fact is, it's all staying in the same pocket, and... it's not considered having experienced a commercial transaction. That's one way to look at it. On the other hand, oidilma kiven the kama de limafki isurei. I mean, ultimately, until you release the Isser off that Chamar by way of swapping it with this Seh, Loi Mishri, it will not become Mutter. So ultimately, this Seh is serving as a catalyst for releasing the Isser off the Chamar by way of the swap. Because Schera Dami, it's like doing Schera. Because the Seh is being used in a function other than actual consumption. It's being used as a flip, as an exchange for the chamor. Tashmai comes at Raya, Torah Chizda, Bimashvis, Ein Poidim Basa Vadai, Ava Poidim Basa Sofik. You can't use it for a Vadai, but yes, for a Sofik. It's not considered Schoir. Rashi again highlights the difference because by the Vadai you have to swap it plus give it to the Kohen, that's Schoir. It looks like he was a part of a real transaction. It was a flip, and that was given to the kohen. It was an exchange. That's a schur type of function. But if it's just all in house, I'm flipping it, but I'm keeping it here and eating, that's not considered a schur. Interesting. Another halach from Chizda regarding Shemitah. Behemah shvius pur min habchira. If one has an animal which has shvius status, and there's a firstborn there, it will not have kedushas bechira. Typically, a firstborn kosher animal is given to the kohen. It's a carbon, parts of which are put in the mizbeach. The fats are burnt on the mizbeach. All this will not apply to a shmita animal. Why? We'll see in a minute. V'chayivas matonis, but if a person shechts his own shmita animal, he has to forward the matonis. You know, there's roya, lechayayim, bekeva, the parts that belong to the kohen. Yeah. That applies even to this type of animal. Why? Turim la b'chera, it's exempt from b'chera, lo'ach l'marachmona, as we said. The Torah stipulates, shmi'is material is only for eating, v'loy l'shrif, not for destruction, such as the b'chera animal, which has parts which are put on the mizbeach for burning. It's exempt from that. You can't burn, so it's not a bechor. But chayves matonis, it's chayve matonis la'achlam ra karina be. Although you're obligated to give parts to the kohen, but he eats it. It's considered la'achlam, and it applies here as well. Maybe here comes a kasha. And you're saying that something which has an element of destruction to it is exempt from, does not apply to shvius, shvius animal. So what about a shvius doe? Maybe here comes a kasha. Oichel nisa shvius. For one, partakes, he eats a part of a dough comprised of shmita flour. Ad shelo yihur mechalasa, prior to separating the challah. Chayv misa, it's considered tevel, it's chayv misa. Why is it even chayv and challah? You know what happens to challah that becomes tamei? You have to burn it. So there is a potentially a destruction element within this. It should not apply to shmita material. Vamai, why? Kivin de ilu metamya. Since if the challah portion becomes tamei, basrefi, you have to burn it. That's inconsistent with the primary function of Shemitah material. La'achla, Amar Achman, the Torah stipulates, it's meant for eating. Will it be straight enough for burning? Answer is, Shani Ha'acha. The Chesiv Deres Eichem, the Pasuk by Chala stipulates Deres Eichem for all your generations. That's coming to cover even Shemitah. Tanam, we find the same in the Braisa. Menai lo'ichla misas shviz. How do we know that if a person eats shvita dough before challah was removed, there is chayiv misa, shnam there is seichem, because of this pasuk. Okay, so that supports Rochiz's halacha. That supports the answer we gave. Okay, but look what we know. Now the question is, well, then let's learn from there. Just like by the dough, it's chayiv and challah, despite having a destruction element within it, we ignore that aspect. The same should be regarding an animal. A shvita animal should have din of bechor, despite the fats and whatever that are slated for burning on the mizbeach. No, there's a huge difference between the two, says the Gemara. Hasam ikar la'achila. In contrast to the dough, its primary function and purpose is for consumption. If you're lucky enough that the challah that you separate from the dough is going to be retained in tahara and not going to become tainted, you're going to eat it. The kohen will eat it. It's meant for consumption, not destruction. So unless it gets tamei, it's fully suitable for eating. As opposed to the fats of the bechor animal, initially it's meant for burning on the mizbeach. That's its primary plan, primary program, right? It doesn't work with the shemitah material, which is not meant for destruction. The son of the kohen. The Mishnah concluded, the animal owner decided to forward the actual donkey to the kohen. The kohen must first make a pidyon, just like the Yisrael would have to, and then he can keep the rest. But Tanina, so our Mishnah is a raya, a support laha to the following Tanur Rabbanan we learned in the Braisa. Yisrael shayla petach mer pesach beisay. Okay, so Yisrael had the petach mer. Varmalei kohen tneoli. Kohen says, you know, why bother with the pidyon? I'll take care of it. Give it to me. Vani yevdei, I'll take care of it. Can you? No. Well, you can't give it to him. Unless the kohen did the pidyon in the presence of the Yisrael. Amar of Nachman, Amar Rabba, Baravua. What do we learn from this brisa? Zaysameris. We learn from here. Nechshadu hakayhanu pidyon chamoyrim. We suspect kayhanu to perhaps not follow through and do a proper pidyon. Perhaps, you know, they have this mindset. Look, in any case, the pidyon goes to us. What's the point of even making the pidyon? Just keep the whole thing. We can't trust them on it unless we see them doing the pidyon in front of us. Peshitta says the moral, obviously. What's Rabba Barabu adding to the Braisa, which said that you can't give it to him unless he does a pidyon in front of you? Obviously, it's because we suspect him of non-compliance. Perhaps the Braisa, where we suspect him, is only when there's a chazaka. It's been established that the that he disregarded the pidyon requirement. The mikri, it happened that he did it. But otherwise, We don't assume that he'll disregard it. Kamashmon the Mer by a Torah. Comes Rav Nachman, the name of Rav Avot, tell us, no. This halacha applies to any kind in the world, who concerned that will be Moira Heter. He'll justify it by saying, look, in any case, what's the difference? You make the pinion, you give it to me anyway, so skip the whole pinion process, just give me the chamar straight out. And of course, he's wrong, because, you know, just like by tevel produce, although the truma goes to the kohen, he has to first separate the truma, make truma on the tevel, even his own tevel, and then he can eat the truma. Same thing over here. There's an isser, there's a requirement, right, to make the pidyon, Israel's firstborn has to be redeemed. Truth is that the kohen's firstborn donkey is exempt, as we had back in the Mishnah, but here we're talking about a firstborn donkey born in the under Israel ownership, right, while still in possession of the Israel. So you can't just take the short route and give the donkey to the kohen and that's it. He has to make the pidyon. Okay, so that is consistent with our Mishnah as well. That if the Israel should choose to just give it to the kohen, he can't use it unless it makes it late, unless he carries out the pidyon. After which he can keep both the donkey and the seah. Okay, so just a quick chazara of the Gemara until now. We had the Mishnah, long Gemara, giving us the parameters of what may or what may not be used for pidyon petach hamor. The starting point is the word seh. Petach hamor tiftev is seh. We connect to Karban Pesach. It needs to be a true seh from kvasim, from ezim, sheep, goats. Can't be a chaya, can't be from a cow family, can't be shechted, can't be treifa, nor kelayim, because the lezer kelayim is okay. But age, gender, and tamim is not required, because tifte at tifte is marba even those. Okay, as long as it conforms to the primary element of Karban Pesach, you're okay, even if you don't have all the other secondary elements. Now, what about a ben pekua? That was a whole shaila, or machlokes. Right, so going to Rabbanan, that ben pekua does not need shechita. Can it be used or not? That was a shaila, machlokes. We had nidme, we had a shaila by nidme, we had a shaila psalm mekdashim, concluded that it's not suitable. We've got a ben shemitah, we said, vada, pedachamor cannot, and a safi could. And we had a chiddush that even a kohen who imports the petach hamor from the Yisrael must first make pidyon before use. Says the Mishnah, who is responsible? Okay, so you redeem the firstborn donkey, and now the goat disappears. Who's responsible? Is the Yisrael done deal, or perhaps it's not complete until he delivers it to the kohen? Hamafresh pidyon petach hamor. So he put aside the petach hamor. He made the pinyon mace and the goat died before delivered to the kohen. Rabbi Elazar Omer, you haven't done the job. Chayav b'achron yusay, he's responsible. Just like the $5 you have to give for the pinyon peter, the pinyon haben, kechamish lam shel ben, just like over there. Rashi brings the Gemara later. You chay b'achrais until you deliver the money to the kohen. Until it's delivered, it's not done. Likewise over here. So he compares Pidyon petach hamor to pidyon haben. V'chacham ayim ein chayoven b'achar yusay. The owner is not chayev b'achrayus, and they compare it to pidyon maaser sheni. Just like when you redeem maaser sheni material, the money goes lost. It's lost. Hey, Rabbi Shmuel b'tzadik, they testified al pidyon petach hamor shemei shein kanav ein klum. And according to the shittas chachamim, pidyon died. The kohen has no claim. Now let's say meis petach hamor. Let's flip around the equation. You did a pidyon. Prior to delivery to the kohen, the donkey dies. Well, as I mean, cover. Well, it says the process was not yet completed, in which case the redemption wasn't yet carried out fully, and the donkey's aser b'hanoi, you have to bury it. Umuter banasa shatleh, and the owner can now enjoy the tleh. It doesn't belong to the kohen because the redemption process wasn't really carried through. V'cham ayin ain't tzarach lekaver, tell the kohen, they say no. Redemption was done. Donkey is yours to keep. You don't have to bury it. And the sheep, you got to send off to the kohen, FedEx. I'm Rabbi Yisrael, my time to Rabbi Lezer. What's Rabbi Lezer's reason? That the farmer is responsible for the goat until delivered to the kohen, tachsiv, because in the same pasuk we have a reference to this pidyon and the pidyon haben, tachsiv as padei sifte, and we make an equation. Ma'ab charadam chay b'charisa, just like the father of this firstborn son is responsible for that money until delivered to the kohen, ap b'char b'metmeo, likewise, the redemption of the donkey, chay b'charisa. Well, if you're comparing to the Bechor Adam, compare it all the way. So just like the firstborn son, you can enjoy his company, his mutter b'ano, even pre-redemption. Likewise, you can enjoy the Bechor b'metme even before redemption. Right? So it should be so. So perhaps the answer is yes. Well, clearly, in our Mishnah, we see the answer is no. Because that chamar that dies is off limits. But now we have in the Mishnah, Meis Petach Hamar Reb Lezer, you have to bury it. Why you cover? Why bury? Lav, the Asurban apparently because he's off limits. No, Allah, you cover Gibchar Adam. Not because of Israel, no, because there's a mitzvah, a din to bury, just like by a person. You bury a person, you bury an animal, a Hamar, because of that connection to the firstborn son. Ela Adam Bechor Adam Be'ikvura. Pashal Be'ikvura. So the reason why you're burying the firstborn donkey is because you're comparing him to the firstborn son. So, it's the firstborn son element that's requiring kvura and being carried over to the petach hamar. Pasha lo be kvura, regular son, second son, not a bechor, doesn't need to be buried. Of course he does. So it's not the firstborn element that's triggering the kvura. So you can't say that would be the reason for burying the petach hamar. Avoid another question. We have a clear braisa that according to Reb Elezer, a petach hamar is asur b'hano prior to pidyon. Why Tani? Why Reb Elezer? Reb Elezer agrees with Yisrael. Sheyesh loy safek peter chamar b'sech beisa. Yisrael has a safek peter chamar. What do you do? Shemafesh tla'elo b'shaloi. You got to do the pidyon, but you keep the pidyon. That's only because why are you even bothering with the pidyon? Because apparently the donkey is asur until pidyon. So that really reckons our question. Well, if we're comparing the peter chamar to the bechor adam, why is there isra hano by Petach Hamar, which is something that's not there by Pidyon Ben? Elam Arav, I'll tell you why. For some elements we compare them, for some we don't. Elam Arav, Makura, the Pasuk says, Ach Padei Tifte. In that Pasuk, which relates to Adam and Bechor, it says, Padei Sifte. Regarding Lefdiyah, Hikash, regarding redemption discussion, I compare the two. I equated the Hamar to the Adam, regarding whether you Chai Bachrayis, etc. But below the Bachrayis, not regarding other matters. Now, although a firstborn son is mutar b'hano, but the betach hamar is asur b'hano. It's not awesome. I have a Mishnah which says like this. It's actually a braisa. Ha'erchin v'shatan. Erchin is where a person pledges another person's value, set value established by the Torah, will be giving that to the Beis HaMikdash. V'shatan, over there, it's based on the time of the pledge. His current age. Current status. Okay, so if the person you pledged about is now 10 years old, that's what you go with. B'shatan, the time of pledge. Upidin ben, regarding Pidin ben, achashleishimir. That requirement, that obligation, is only activated once the child hits 30 days. Pidin petachamar la'altar. Pidin of the firstborn donkey gets activated immediately upon birth. Really? Upidin petach hamar la'altar? Is that so? As this first brisa says, that petach hamar happens right away. V'aramini, we have another brisa that you have to wait 30 days for petach hamar. Ein be'erchon upidin haben uben zirus. Upetach hamar petach mishloishim. The magic number 30 applies all over. It applies to erchon, the first set value on a human is 30 days and up. Pidyon HaBen, you have to wait until the child is 30. But Nazirus, the minimum, you know, Nazirus time frame is 30 days. Petach Hamar also needs to be 30 days old. We see Pidyon HaOlam, and you know, it goes on unlimited. I mean, you can make a very long Nazirus, you can be pointed to the sun even past 30, but the starting point is 30. So we have a stira. Brisa number one says Petach Hamar is la'altar, right away upon birth. Brisa two says 30 days minimum. Amar Rav Nachman, loymar shim podei podei. The second brayse is just saying, look, if you do it right away, it works. But ideally, you should wait 30 days. Just like Pidin HaBen. Mechlal de b'noyim podei ani podei. Apparently, the brayse is saying, Petach Amar can work right away, but Pidin HaBen clearly has to wait 30 days. And even if you do it before 30 days, it doesn't work. The person redeems his firstborn son a week after birth, it doesn't work. But we have a halacha that does work. Hapoide es b'noyim b'teich lamad yoyim. Person does Pidin HaBen within 30 days. Rav Amar b'noyim podei, it works. So you see, it does. Well, not entirely. La Vitmar Lo, we have already explained on that. Omar Rav, Rav explains, Kuli Am all agree with me, actually, in Breit, if he insists that he wants the pidyon to take effect right away, it doesn't work. Because it's not yet time. It's too early in the game. What he could do is set aside the money, make the pidyon. So he's doing the act early, but it will only take effect past 30. That he can do. As opposed to Petach Amar, there's no such absolute requirement. Although ideally you should wait for 30 days, but if he does it earlier, it works. Rav Sheshes Amar, he has a different shot. What's the problem? Price number one speaks about Petach Amar immediately upon birth. Price number two speaks about 30 days. Rav Sheshes Amar loymar. Rav Sheshes Amar loymar shein oiver lov. Really, the mitzvah happens right away upon birth. The second price just means to say that he's not going to be considered in violation. He hasn't really violated until he waits 30 days. No, that's too far. That's, you know, that's already considered in violation, but the actual pidyon can happen right away. Masir Ram Bar Chama, I have a question on you. From a third price. Mitzvasa kol shleishim yoyim. The Petach Amar is meant to be redeemed within 30 days. Mekan Velech past 30 days, he has two options, either redeem or chop off the head. My love, let's assume what the Brisa means. The Brisa means to say is wait, it's a mitzvah to wait until he's somewhat developed, until he's 30 days old. In contrast to Rav Sheshes, who says you have to do the pidyon right away, no, that's not what the Brisa means. Mitzvah of Toysa, Kol Shleishim Yoyim. You're meant to be paid within 30 days. Soon after birth, get going. If you wait past 30 days, you are violated. Yachi, if that's what the Brisa means, that you can really do Pidyon or Arifa right now, at 30, it triggers a violation. So the wording of the Brisa is a bit difficult because the Brisa should have said, "Mekan ve'elch past 30 days, oy poydeyu, oy over alovim boy." They should have said it like that. Either you quickly do a pidyon, or you're in transgression. Instead of just saying, "Well, you have two options: either redeem or arifa," the Brisa should have emphasized that you're getting avera now. Elam arava leikashi parav lezer demakshi harabon leimakshi. Let me give you a very simple resolution to this apparent contradiction. Not a contradiction at all. Brisa number one, which says that pidyon happens right away, that's like the Rabbanan, Lo Makshi. They don't compare donkey to Adam. According to them, there's no reason to wait for 30 days, which is a requirement by Adam. By Chamar, you do it right away. Rabbi Lezer the Makshi. Second Brisa is Rabbi Lezer, who compares animal to human as a 30-day minimum before you make a pidyon. Continues the Gemara. Lo Yirotz Levdoi Sa'er from Achirav. Okay, if the farmer is unwilling to do pidyon, beheaded from behind, the kovran, you bury the dead donkey. Mrs. Abdi, Kodemus, Mrs. Arifa. Truly, redemption takes priority. It's preferred over Arifa, as the pasuk clearly puts Arifa as second option. Shenemar im loy if you don't redeem, you do Arifa. On this topic, Mitzvah Si'idah, Kodemus, Mrs. Abdiya. Person owns a Jewish maidservant. Ideally, you should do yud, should marry her before. That takes priority over facilitating her redemption. Shenemar, once again, the pasuk puts one before the other. Ashaloya adav efto. If he hadn't married, then he facilitates her redemption. One more on this list is yibam and chalitza. Which one takes priority? Mitzvah sayibam comes before kodemes. Mitzvah chalitza. A fellow's brother died childless. Ideally, you should marry the widow before doing chalitza. That's in the good old days when they were of higher, holier material. Over there, we say Yibum comes first because their intention was for the sake of mitzvah. But nowadays, standards dropped and the intention isn't so pure. So now the Chachamim advised that chalitza should happen before Yibum. Amru, they say mitzvah chalitza, kodemes, mitzvah Yibum, encourage chalitza brought before Yibum. Mitzvah ha'geula ba'adayin, kodem kol adam. If a fellow donates an animal, whatever, unkosher animal to the Beis HaMikdash treasury fund, right? So who's going to be called to redeem for? Who gets priority regarding redemption? Mitzvah sagula ba'adayin, the owner of that, the donor, who kodem chol adam, he comes before other people. Shenemar v'im lo yigayel, v'nim kabel kecha. It won't be geula, which means that the actual owner who donated will not come and redeem it. Then you sell it off. And Tosfos adds another reason, based on the Gemara and Erechin, there's another reason, because he adds a fifth to the total amount, so the Hekdash will be gaining on him. Therefore, he takes priority. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.